Can I put it in my pocket and it'll be okay?
Should be, yeah.
Okay. So, this morning, I just want to run through some things quickly, unfortunately, but because if you know me, you know I don't have a problem talking, but I have time restraints, so I'm going to have to be, in my mind, quick, but that's all right. I asked Brady what do you want me to talk about? Is there anything you want to talk about or idea? But basically, he said, you know, it's about challenge. And I thought, well, that's good. And I prayed all week, and the Lord gave me some things, and I'm just going to share them with you because I think this gets to the crux of the matter for all of us. I don't know where each of you are in your spiritual walk as a whole or just over the last week or this morning maybe even. But I can tell you this, what we're going to look at this morning gets down to the root, okay? And if you don't start there, then you're just playing games. I'm a plain talker, and I don't really apologize for it. Simply because, you know, we don't have much time left. Okay? It's just that simple. And I thought that 45 years ago. And it was true. It's just more true now. Okay? I was just more foolish then. I'm still foolish. But hopefully not as much. So, let's read through these first seven verses, and then we'll make some comments and jump around. Proverbs 23, verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Let's pray. Father, we praise and thank you for the Lord Jesus this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, the leading guide. I pray, Father, that we would follow as you lead and guide. Lord, thank you for your word to illuminate that path and to show us what to do and how to do it. Help us to be obedient, trusting you, and increasing our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Proverbs 23. I don't know why. I even wrote 27 on my paper. I don't know what. And I went back and read 27. I'm like, okay, Lord, is there something here? But Proverbs 23, these first seven verses are very interesting. But there's just some things. Like I said, I'm just going to go through, and I want to say something about each verse real quick, and then we'll actually get into the crux. But this is what we need to consider before we go anywhere and try to figure things out. It's kind of like principles of Bible study. Who here has gone through that? Or maybe I should say who hasn't gone through something like that, okay? So those are really good rules. I've been using them, you know, for 5 decades. But I'll tell you the one that I encompass that whole thing with, because it's apropos right here. Before you try to figure out something in the Word of God, before you try to, you know, get the meaning or dig deep or do all those things, the first thing you need to do is actually read what it says. And I know you're thinking, well, of course I'm reading it or what? No, I mean stop and take a good look at it, because I'm going to tell you a little secret. Here's your one tip and secret. I got nothing else beyond this. Except Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And that's this. 75-80% of all your questions can be answered in what you're reading if you just go back and actually read what it actually says and break it down. We're always looking for deep, dark things and some hidden gem, and most of the time it's right there, already laid out on the plate for us. We're just not looking. Especially, I mean, if you're like me, you've probably read through your Bible more than 2 or 3 times, right? Shake your heads or say yes or what, something. Okay. So you know what happens? We anticipate what's coming because we know. Most of the time we know what we're about to read, don't we? And that causes us to stumble. I don't care where you are in your walk, that causes us to stumble because we're not paying attention. because we know it's coming, or we think we do. And so we don't watch for what we don't know. You know, Psalms 119 there, what is it, verse 18, I think? He says, I might be wrong on that. Somebody correct me if so, but he says, you know, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The older I get in the Lord, the more I've been in my Bible, the more I pray that. Because I know I'm reading things that I already know. But the reality is I don't know what I don't know. And neither do you. So let's just look at some simple things here. Because this is going to get us to where we really need to be concentrating on. So in verse 1, he says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And you're thinking, you know, well, I don't really sit with the rulers. Here's the problem. You need to ask yourself this question. And these are just questions. Write them down or, you know, ignore it, whatever you want to do. Who rules you? Because somebody does. And most of the time it's you. Most of the time it's me. No matter what we think, that's usually true. You know, who do you sit with? So I work a lot and I'm by myself. I'm a truck driver, so I'm by myself a lot now. Now I'm putting coffee everywhere. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. It gives you a lot of time to think. The problem is, it gives you a lot of time to think. Because my counsel is not good. His counsel is. Now, I know that. I know you know that. The question is, what do you do with it? Do you just know it? Or do you apply it? Again, 80% of your answers come from things you already know that we're just not doing. We're not applying. If knowing it would fix it, man, we'd be in good shape as Bible believers. It'd be the golden age, man. And it's not. Because we don't apply it. We think that osmosis somehow is going to happen spiritually, and it doesn't. It's like anything. You don't learn anything you do without doing it repeatedly, without applying it, without busting your thumb, without making a mistake and having to learn. And sometimes we don't do it because we don't want to make a mistake. Sometimes we don't do it because we made a mistake. And so we use that excuse. Oh, I'm not worthy. No, you're not. None of us are. That's from jump, right? I mean, that you start with that. I already know I'm not worthy. So that excuse is ridiculous. Okay? Just ridiculous. Who rules you? And these are questions for you to answer. I'm not answering all these for you. But you need to ask yourself, who rules me? Is it you? Is it the Lord? Is it your friends? Is it the things you watch, the things you think, things you listen to? Verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. So ask yourself, what are your appetites? And don't tell me you don't have any. You're a man. You do have appetites. Okay, we all do. What is your appetite? And if they're not the things that you need to have an appetite for, you know the things you need to have an appetite for, the Word of God, fellowship of the saints, edifying and being edified, all these things. And I know you want those, but what do you feed yourself with mostly? I don't know what those answers are. I just answer for myself. What are your appetites? Examine. Right? The Bible says if we would examine ourselves. Well, yeah, I know that verse. That's a good one. How often do you do that? Once a year? Well, that's ridiculous. Once a month? That's just as ridiculous. If you're not doing that daily multiple times, man, you're failing the test, so to speak, of life. Because all of us have a constant battle with an enemy that never stops. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Say, oh, that old devil. Yeah, well, okay, push him off to the side for a second, because he's the general. He's now out on the field. So is the other two. And the worst one is my own flesh and your own flesh. Check your appetites. Verse 3. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So here's a question. What deceitful meat are you eating? Because I guarantee you are. I know you're eating some good meat. I hope you're in your Bible every day, multiple times, thinking on it, communing with him. But I know you got some other meats you're eating. We all do. There are some things that I eat sometimes I shouldn't. There are some things I ingest sometimes that I shouldn't. Look at verse 4. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. So let me ask you this. Here's the question here. Are you using your own wisdom? Or are you replacing it with his? Because you're doing one or the other. If you don't check your own wisdom against his, then you're not even at the start. And that is just the start. You can see it and know, okay, that's what I need to do. This is what I'm doing, but that's what I need to do. You can even tell your friends, hey, this is what I need to do. But you can stand there looking at that for a long time. You might even put up a portrait. So I see it every day. Problem is, now you're looking at you all the time instead of him. You want to look like something, you got to see it, not yourself. We're not supposed to compare ourselves to other men, are we? And yet we compare ourselves to ourselves all the time without even thinking. Your flesh does that. Say, I'm working on this. And yeah, but guess what? Your flesh, and you know this, is working against you 24/7. He never slacks. He's like the Terminator, right? What do you say? He never sleeps. He'll never stop. Blah, blah, blah. That's your flesh. I don't know about you, but when I watch a movie, if I see something, I'm looking at it through the lens of the Bible. And I see those things, and I see them. You probably see as much or more. But what do we do with that? Do we just talk about it? Do you say, hey, that's pretty cool? Or do we do something about it? You know, you can't... You can wish all day long. What's that old thing about laying in bed and dreaming? Dream, that's great. But, you know, are your dreams your own, or are your dreams out of this book? I mean, I'll tell you what my dream is. My dream is, and some of you have a little piece of land and a nice simple cabin. I mean, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would build a nice simple cabin in the middle of some woods. Great. That's my dream. I'll never see that, and that's okay in this earth. Because that's not the job. That is not the job. That's what I want in my flesh, and there's nothing wrong with it. But that's not the job. And it's selfish. And it's self-centered. It's looking at me, what I want, and not what he wants. You realize that when Jesus walked this earth, he set the example, right? Yes? No? Yes. Anybody disagree? Okay. You realize he said, I don't do anything except that which my Father sent me to do. I don't say anything that which the Spirit saith unto me. He didn't do anything of his own. He did what the Father sent him to do, what the Spirit led him to do, period. Now, if you and I do less, that's a fail. That's all right. We're going to fail. What do you do when you fail? You wallow in it, or you fix it? Get it corrected. Verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Yes, we do. All the time. All of us. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. See, this is one of these verses we'd like to forget or ignore. Right? If only I won the lottery, man, then I could give God all this help, missions, and do all these things. Like God needs you or me in the lottery to do any of that. He's already going to do what he's going to do. His invitation is, do you want to be a part of it? Will you jump on my wagon? Are you willing to suffer anything to be a part of that? Because on the other side of all this, which is forever, eternal, it is more than we even know we could want or desire, right? But we get fixated on, man, if only, if only. I wonder how many times God thinks that about me every day. If only this guy would just get on my bandwagon. So number 5, what are your eyes set upon? They set upon your goals, you know. The world, even Christianity, says, hey, set your goals. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You should set goals. But what are those goals? I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. All I hear in that when I look at it is I. And I'm thinking about Isaiah and Ezekiel where they're telling him, I will, I will. I'm like, man, I'm just like the devil right now. I. It's the wrong eye. Those eyes need to be fixed on him. Fixed on him. Verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Here's the problem with this, the eye thing. Those dainty meats. Notice this is the second time he's mentioned this in these verses, by the way. When God says something twice or mentions something twice, that's a big red flag. Better pay attention. Okay? Because God is not like us. He doesn't say things just for filler. Okay? I say things for filler all the time because I'm not a great speaker. But I can take up time. Right? God's not like that. Every word, every punctuation is measured out long before any of us existed. It's not by accident. That's why the book you have is so important. What are your desires is the question there. What are your desires? Neither desire thou as dainty. Man, get your eyes where they belong, right? I remember sitting in my driveway once. This is before I went out as a domestic missionary. And I was struggling in a certain area of my life. And a song came on. I don't listen to Christian radio a lot because I like some of the music, but then they start talking. Or then they start playing, you know, music that's got stuff. I'm like, that's not true. And I'm like, man, you know, give me my rock and roll. At least I know they're honestly, you know, dishonest. So, you know, it's a true lie, right? But all of a sudden it's an old song. And I forget who was singing it. Maybe Steve Green or somebody like that. I don't even know why I was listening to that, to be honest. I mean, I like some of it, but it was, be careful, little lies, what you see. And I pulled in my driveway. I'm getting goosebumps now. And I bawled. Because that was my problem right then. My eyes. And I bawled and bawled. And I said, man, be careful, little lies, what you see. So simple. Well, the things that we see become things we desire, don't they? When I realize I got a problem with my desires, or what I'm hungry for, or what I'm eating, then I know it goes back to my eyes, the things I'm taking in. And that brings us to verse 7. And that's really where I want to spend a little time. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now, yeah, some of it has to do with, you know, who you sit with, what you do, what you allow people, the influence you let people have in your life. And that doesn't mean you just sit down, you know, like a table like this. You might sit down with them on the TV or them on the, in the show major, you know, cassette or CD or whatever, you know. And I don't know, what is it now? Streaming. Okay. Whatever you sit down with. But look at that first part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the question is, how do you think in your heart? Okay. Should be. But it's not always. How do you think in your heart? Look over to Acts 8:22 for a second. Look at Acts. You know, the bottom line and what I'm really getting through here with all this, all these things are really symptoms of what we're going to look at here. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The thought of thine heart. Do you have to sleep with a woman that's not your wife to commit adultery? No. Well, where does that start? What did the Lord say? Okay, your eyes. What? Your mind.
Yeah.
Your mind.
Most of it's in your mind, but then you're seeing it, and it's like, this ain't right.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that sometimes we look at something we know that we shouldn't be, and we don't think it's not right. We think, wow, that's good. We do. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because a couple of you said it. It starts right here. I don't care whether you take it in through your eyes, and that's how we think, right? I mean, that goes back to Adam. It all goes back. Everything has a first, right? And I'm just telling you right now, you'll find it all in the first 12 chapters of Genesis. Everything else just lays it out in detail. But it all goes back to him. Adam knew what the Lord said. He was not beguiled, right? Right? He was willing for participant. You know why? Because what he saw, his wife changed. And he liked what he saw. Don't think you and I are any different. So you got to change your desires. Well, how do I do that? Well, you got to change your mind. I mean, there's a ton of beautiful women out there. Let's don't kid ourselves here, right? Okay? They're everywhere. It's not that you don't notice that. It's what you do right after that. And I don't mean 10 minutes later. I mean the next millisecond. What do you do with that? I had a good friend named Gary Driscoll, and if you like music, you might have heard of him. He wrote a lot of music way back in the day. He's been dead now 15 years. The Lord took him home. He was a ghostwriter for the Gaither Trio, and he wrote most of Sandy Patty's gold and platinum records. But he wrote a song that nobody ever recorded. My kids grew up on his music because he'd send them to me in cassette form. You know, I'm dating myself, I know. But they grew up on it. But this one song, man, as I was saying, it's called Second Look. That first look, so to speak, is for free. I mean, you're going to see things. Okay. But what about that second look? And I'm just going to be open here with you. We're men. I know there's a few kids here, so I'm going to be careful what I say here. But I always, not just 40 years ago, 50 years ago, today, yesterday, I mean, the only woman I'm seeing today is my wife, so that's okay. But you know, I have to actively sometimes think to myself, don't look again. Look away. You have to do that. I have to, let's put it that way. I haven't met anybody else that doesn't have to. I'm not sure I'll ever meet that until I get home to heaven, but what do you do with that second look? Because that's where this goes into high gear. And it starts imagining things. But here's the thing. It's not just the eyes. Sometimes it's what you hear. Sometimes it's what you see with your eyes because you're reading something. I love to read. And I read all kinds of stuff. And there's some books that I've read before, and all of a sudden it got kind of graphic. And I said, man, I got to put that away. You know why? Because my mind, out of all that book, you know what my mind gets centered on? Same thing yours would. Most of it. Man, it just... And again, this isn't... That part has nothing to do with where you are spiritually. Because we are all men. We're all susceptible to that. We all have to bear the burden of our flesh every day. It's what you do with it. And if you are not actively dealing with it, then it's dealing with you. There is no in between on that. So, well, Mark, there's gray. There is no gray in here. Zero. We like gray because we like to live in the gray. And if you live in the gray, I'll find you in the dark. That's a guarantee. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You start down a path and you stay on it, you're going to get to the end. It's that simple. Right? Unless you get off of it, you know, what does I say? The highway of the upright is to what? Depart from you. You got to get off that path. If you stay on it, you're going to get to the end of it. And everything along the way, all the little vines, all the things that will come at you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We'll start in 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And that's our problem. We like to war in the flesh. We think we can beat it. And that is a fool's thought. If you and I could beat it, then why did Jesus come and die for us? He could have just said, do X, Y, Z, and boom. No. Because we got flesh. And that flesh is sinful. You can't change that. God didn't even change it. He gets rid of it. Okay? It's that simple. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now I want you to, the key word there is strongholds. Sin is strong. And the more you stay in it, the stronger those chains get. The more vines. Some are from the get-go bad. But none of them start out there. They start real small, unnoticeable. Dave and I were just talking about Bibles and some people we know. So you know, you take a glass of pure water and a glass of, let's just say tap water nowadays, but you know, pot water, you know, potty water, might look the same, right? But if you know what this is, you're not going to drink it. If nobody tells you and you drink it, well, if you drink this, you're going to end up healthy. You drink this, guess what? Not because you wanted to get unhealthy, but you're going to get sick. Not the first day, probably, but down the road, down the road, down the road. And that's what we like to do. We like to play kick the can, right? How many play kick the can in our life, right? Okay, some of us are, yeah. You kick that can down the road long enough and you end up right off the cliff. You can't kick the can, man, on sin. You got to deal with it. Because here's the thing. You think you're kicking the can and the can's actually leading you. It's drawing you in. I used to teach a course in the Marine Corps called Camouflage, Covering, Concealment, and Booby Traps. And that's what you do. You draw somebody in, or you drive them this way or that way, because they think that's the problem or that's what I get. No, it's down there. You're just being moved around. And that's what we allow the world and the flesh and the devil to do to us, to push us around and to draw us in, because our mind is not where it needs to be. Look here. Again, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch this, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, most of you know your Bible, or you're learning it. So you see a lot of things that I'm talking about. You know the things to do and not do. But let me ask you something. I know you're in a war. But how are you fighting? Because look at that verse again. Look at the last part of it. What do you do with those things? What does it tell you to do? You're supposed to bring them into what?
Captivity.
So are you fighting and bringing those things into captivity where you capture them? Because if you don't capture them, they are capturing you. Again, in a hand-to-hand combat, somebody wins and somebody loses. It is that simple. And it's that real. If you're not bringing it into captivity, you're even saying, well, okay, but how do I do that? How do I bring that into captivity? What do I do with it? Good question. So, let's look over at a key passage I want to look at. Let me back up for a second. Here's the thing. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me show you something. Let's go over here. Matthew 22. Come back here. I'm saying that I might even redirect you again. I'm thinking on the fly, so I apologize. Give me a second. Okay, yeah. Verse 37, Matthew 22:37. And you'll find this companion passages in a couple of the other Gospels. Jesus saith unto him, and this is where the guy asked him, Master, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Right? Anybody know what 2 Timothy 1:7 says? I'll bet you do. You sound right. For we have not been given the spirit of fear, but what?
Power.
What?
Love.
Sound of mind. Not any mind, a sound mind. And I don't care whether you're learning the Word of God, you're teaching the Word of God, you're pastoring. This mind is not sound. Ever. And we all fall into that. In that trap of thinking, man, I got my mind where it needs to be. I got a sound mind. No, I don't. And no, neither do you. This is the only sound mind we'll ever have. The difference now is I hold it, I got to read it, study it, and apply it. If you don't apply it, you're wasting your time. What you're actually doing is building up an immunity to it. If all you do is know it, and you got to know it, that's not the problem. If all you do is know it, but you don't apply it, then the world comes calling. Right, Larry? Your flesh comes calling. When we're not in this world anymore, and we're in our prayer, this mind will be in me. I don't have to do those things. But that's why Philippians 2 says, man, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be. Notice it says be, not do. We like to do things. Well, anybody can do things. The devil does things. And we think he's a great Christian. But it's the devil, man. Or his workers. It's what we are being. We're either being more like him every day or we're not. There's no in between on that. And that war. Now, this is probably a dumb question, but let me ask you, has anybody not seen Red Dawn? Is that the name of that? Ooh, maybe I got the wrong. Okay, we've all seen it, right? Right? You haven't seen it? Oh my gosh, okay. Man, okay, so most of you are men in here, but I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. It's an old movie. I know they redid it or something. Is that the right name? I thought with Patrick Swayze? Yeah, Red Dawn, okay. Yeah, so Patrick Swayze when he was young. But there's a part where a downed pilot they rescue. And they ask him about the front because they're behind the lines. They don't know anything. What's going on out there? And he says, well, you want to see it? I said, yeah. I mean, he said, because that's where I got to go. Okay, we'll take you. And they get there to the front lines. And there is some battles going on. And he says, so this is the front line. He says, yep. It's here every day. Now, see, those things just stick in my mind because I'm thinking, that's my battle. My spiritual warfare. It's here every day. It doesn't take a day off. It's here every day. But here's the thing. And I mean, I'm older than most of you, except maybe one. Okay? This is a short life. You probably don't understand it yet. I know maybe mechanically, but the older you get, the more you realize, man, this life is short. That's why it speeds up. Time actually does not go faster, but life goes faster. Things happen like this, everything. And you realize, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm closer to 70 now. And it's like I just was a teenager playing a fool, you know, all the time on purpose, you know. It goes like that. Do not think that, well, I got time to do that. You do not have time to do anything other than bring those things into captivity. Get them locked down. Not with your own strength, because you can't do it, but with the Word of God. Now, if you look at the other places there in Luke and Mark, there's something that he adds. So let's just go look at Mark chapter 12. And you'll see the same thing in Luke. From Mark chapter 12. What time is it? I'm looking at it.
I'm looking. It's about 9:30.
Okay, well, I got a few minutes then. I'm wrong. Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. Good, maybe. Yeah, here we go. Mark 12, look at verse 30. Same, it's the companion for the passage in Matthew 12. Verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This first commandment. How strong are you?
Not very.
Okay. You're a pastor. I've been a pastor. Dave's been a pastor. How strong are you?
Not very.
Not very. Here's the bottom line. You and I will never be strong enough to do this in our own power. We don't have that kind of strength. This is spiritual warfare, man. We're not equipped for that. But we have in us, right, God, Holy Spirit God, Jesus. We have His mind. We're in His structure. But then we want to use ourselves to fight a spiritual warfare? That's ridiculous. But Mark Trotter, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, that's stinking thinking. That's what that is. The key is this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There's a lot of places I'd like to go, just to be honest. And there's a lot here. But again, this is just, I want you to think. I want to challenge you, as Brady said, to actually do something about what you know. Not keep operating on what you know. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I have not shown you anything you don't actually know. Remember what I said at the beginning? Before you try to figure out a verse and all this, just read what it says. We're back to that. I'm pretty sure you've heard all these things before. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Keep your finger there. I'm going to go somewhere else real quick. You guys know this, so you don't have to. You can if you want. But Romans chapter 7. What am I going to talk about?
Battle with the flesh.
Yeah, battle with the flesh. Right. I call it the schizophrenic passage. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. This is every single Christian. Okay? It's where he says, hey, you know, hey, the things that, I'm going to paraphrase, the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. Yes. That's every day, right? That's the fight. That's the battle. But a lot of us have just gotten in the easy chair. We wouldn't call it the easy chair because it's lumpy and it's hard. But we'd rather sit and watch. Because somehow we've gotten to where we think Christianity is a viewer sport. It's a participation sport. There are no trophies for anything other than participation here. Actually, they're called crowns, right? And if you don't fight, you don't get any. It's that simple. You get into heaven, but you don't get any. And if you're like some of us, you've lost a few that you had. Here's what I like, though. Verse 21 of Romans 7. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You guys love the Lord, right? You delight in those things. That's not in question. He said, well, but I love the Lord. I know that. Me too. And yet I'm still the idiot that I am. And that you are. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my, what? My mind. Not my flesh. That's symptomatic. My mind. Because what's in my mind goes into my heart, comes out of my mouth. My body does. Your body does. That's why I've been trained in this long ago. I forgot most of it. But, you know, there are guys who can look at you and tell whether you're telling the truth or not because you do certain what's called tics. You can't, unless you're a sociopath, you can't prevent those things from happening, okay? It's physiological because of your mind. Now, this is the world speaking. They figured this out. What's in here comes out of your flesh. And they've studied it and they can tell. There's certain things that happen when you lie or when you tell the truth. because it's your mind giving you away through your flesh. I used to think my dad in the faith was stalking me and spying on me. What I figured out is no, he just knew the Word of God and was in it and applying it at that time and doing everything. And so he didn't have to see me doing anything. He could tell because the flesh doesn't lie about what's in the mind. We think we're getting away with stuff. We're not. You're not. We are not. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Again, if you're not bringing it captive, it's bringing you captive. That's the Word of God. That's not Mark Lockwood. Bring into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is a great one, to me, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, come back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. My whole point in this, guys, is you know all these things. But what you've got to operate on is what you put in your mind and what you do with what gets into your mind. You can't stop most of what comes into your mind. Okay? It's just like life. What you have control over really is only one thing in life. And that is how you respond to what happens in life. You don't have control over some of the most of the things that happen. But you do have control over how you respond to it. And you'll either respond to it in the flesh, the way a bunch of good thinkers, let's say, think, or the wisdom of man, or even the wisdom of the Christians. But the question is, are we responding biblically? That doesn't happen just because you love the Lord. That only happens because you dig in and you find out, what do I need to do to fight that battle? What do I need to do to fight that battle? What do I need to do to fight that battle? And the best way, and this is, take this from a soldier, a Marine. I hate it when I say soldier, but that's just a fleshly thing. You find out through experience, which is not always the best teacher. I don't care what anybody tells you. That is not always the best teacher, because sometimes you can't come back from it. Sometimes you come back with wounds that don't heal. The best way, yeah, experience, but the really best way is to listen to the people who have been there. Okay? So, does that mean, okay, other Christians? No. Although that's not necessarily bad. That's one way God uses. But the way I do that is only going to be here because this is the only thing that has been there, done that, before any of us even existed, and never makes a mistake. Not once. And when those mistakes are made, I don't have to stay in it. It's not an excuse. Well, I've fallen so far, I can't believe I got in this situation. God's not surprised. Why are you? That's just a wallow, look at me, I'm self-absorbed, self-centered. Don't think of it any other way because that is what it is. You'd be thinking, okay, Lord, I know you've made a way of escape before I ever existed. Open thou mine eyes and get after it. Get after it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is the key, okay? 8. And I'm going to start in verse 9. We'll finish up here. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. This, remember back when Moses comes down off the mount with the Ten Commandments that God wrote, right, with his own finger? And he got so mad, he's in his flesh, and he broke them. Righteous anger, wrong action. Motive versus response. And then he's dealing with them. You know, if you go a couple chapters past that, I think it's Exodus 34. He restores those tablets. But what's really cool, I get a little goosebumps about this, because this is how much God loves us. He tells Moses, right in the first verse, I think, first verse or two, hew out two tablets just like the other ones, and I, God speaking, will write them again for you. He says, the ones you broke, I'll write them again. Here's the thing. You and I have broken a lot of things, and we are going to more. God will rewrite those. God can fix it. Don't wallow in self-pity and just be self-absorbed. It's called self-centeredness of, oh, man, God can't use me. I'm supposed to be instant in season and out of season, right? All of us. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get clean before doing anything, and you should stay clean. The biggest problem, I think, in Christianity is that we don't confess sin immediately, and we let it build up, and then it gets forgotten, so it's not confessed. We all love 1 John 1:9. It's a great verse. But here's the thing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. You know what we do? You and I do? We go to God and say, God, please forgive me. Right? Yes? No? Yeah? He didn't tell you to ask for forgiveness. Because if you're saved, how many of your sins has he already forgiven? All. Past, present, and future. What's he say to do? Confess. And the verse I always like, and some of you have been with me in discipleship or training, but in the past, but you better put Proverbs 28:13 in there. He that confesseth and, anybody know? Forsaketh. You got to forsake those things. Otherwise, we might as well be Catholic, just genuflexing. Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You know, oh, I confess, but don't do anything about it. Confess and forsake. You got to find out, how do I forsake this? How do I quit this? Well, here's where it starts. Because it starts here, right? What you do with what goes in here. How you respond. And I'm serious. You got to do it immediately. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. Praise the Lord, man. We are. And herein I give my advice. So here's advice that we ought to listen to. It's here in the Word of God. For this is expedient for you, something to do right now and always, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Okay, you understand that? You need to have grown in the past year. That's what he's saying, just in the vernacular. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Remember what he says, too. He says, it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you got. We spend so much time, instead of counting our blessings, counting what we don't have, what's not happening. God never told you to focus on that. Focus on what you have in him, not materially, in him. Pay attention here, verse 12. For if, so it's conditional on you and me, for if there be first thing, a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Here's the deal, guys. The world has figured this out. You go to an AA meeting. You know what the very first thing you got to do? You got to admit you got a problem. It's called a willing mind. I'm willing to confess, to admit I got a problem. And that's where it starts. It doesn't start with, oh, I got to change this, I got to change that. That may be a part of it, but it starts with you. You and I having a willing mind to bring into captivity everything and anything that causes me to disobey him. By what I think. Because what I think is what goes in my heart and comes out in my actions and my mouth. You can't stop that unless you change this right here. Takes a willing mind. And that means willing all the time. Willing to do the hard things. Willing. How many of you have worked outside at all? Okay, I know Jason does, I do. Okay, this is not the time of year that you want to go outside and work. I don't. My bones don't want me to. But I'm willing to for a lot of reasons, okay? Support my ministry, support my wife. If I'm willing to do that for those things, I need to, and you need to be willing to bring every thought into subjection immediately. Don't give it a second. Bring it into captivity immediately. Say, I don't know how to do that, Mark. Well, that's what we call discipleship. That's what we call continuing to learn and grow and being edified. You know why? Because that battle never stops. And we do get weary in well-doing. That's why he says, don't get weary in well-doing. Well, how do I not get weary? I used to hike the Grand Canyon and take teams of people in there. You do a rim-to-rim, what they call in a day. Some people do rim-to-rim. That's just too fast, so you don't get to enjoy it. But here's the bottom line. It's arduous. But you got to be, if you want to do it, you got to be willing to prep. You got to be willing to eat certain things first, or you're going to get cramps. You're going to get hurt. Now, if I'm willing to do that, if I'm willing, and I have to raise my right hand and swear an oath of allegiance to this country and go fight, if I'm willing to do that, if you're willing to do whatever you do to take care of your families, the things you want, shouldn't you be more willing to do anything for him? Not just know it, do it, be it.
That's like chapter 5 of the big book. Says here, you go down, and I'm gonna read the first three deals of the
real quick, buddy.
Says one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe the power greater than ourselves to restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will over, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
Now, here's the thing a lot of people don't understand about AA and Salvation Army, which is where that really comes from originally. Do you know how the Salvation Army, General Booth, got started? If Mitch was here, he might know this answer, because he and I both love a guy named C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He, to this day, in Oxford, the biggest stained glass portrait is of him. He was the Michael Jordan of his age, the Pat Mahomes. He was a cricket player. And everybody loved him. His grandmother loved him and loved the Lord more, and he ended up getting saved because of her. Met a girl in college there at Oxford, and they said, give their lives to the Lord. They both had big inheritances coming at 25, millions of dollars. This is over 100 years ago. And they said, we can't spend even one shilling of that, or it's of us and not of God. So they gave it away to four different people, entities. General Booth was one of them, and that's why he was able to start the Salvation Army, which was started to win people to Christ and disciple them, if you go study it out. Now it's become something totally different. But the bottom line is, if the world can figure this out, shouldn't we be doing it, being it? Better, leading the way, being the example. And don't worry about being that day out there. Just be that before the Lord, our wives, our family, our church body, because we need it. I need you. I need you. I need you, because it keeps me accountable. I know I can hide it for a while, but I can't hide it forever. I know that. You know that. But we all like to pretend like I can keep it going. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, right? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Father, we praise and thank you for Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love and care for us. But Lord, we thank you that you gave us your word and your spirit so we can not just know these things, it starts there, so that we can be those things, so that there can be a performance out of that which we have. Lord, you have blessed us in this church. You have blessed us in our lives. Father, help us to truly worship you and bring you honor and glory, which is our purpose, by being obedient in those things and bringing into captivity every thought immediately. Help us to accept that challenge, not all the dumb things that show up on TikTok, but rather the challenge that we have day by day, minute by minute, and second by second, because seconds count. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
Praise the Lord. Okay. It says hold.
Yeah, you push down a little hole in there.
I'll just get to it.